Welcome into the Yards After College podcast powered by KSLSports.com. I am Kyle Ireland, and with me, as always, is Sam Farnsworth, the Bronco fan who's hoping to see his team pick up a win on Monday Night Football tonight. Sam, how do you feel about your team's chances against the Bills? You think that Russell Wilson's going to finally, you know, put a string of a few few weeks together? You know, you got a decent month going on. You think they pick up a win over the Bills?
I don't know. Like, Kyle, I'm trying not to act like I don't care. I'm trying not to sound like I don't care, but I'm slightly disenfranchised with the Denver Broncos, even if they start winning. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Would I like for them to win? Sure. Yes, I do want them to win to see if I can reignite that fandom in me. But I think maybe covering the team for as long as I did, and it's not the same. I'm not saying I don't like the Broncos, but man, I'll tell you what, they've put Broncos fans through a lot of years of just kind of twiddling the thumbs, not taking it too seriously with who they're putting in on the roster. And I don't know. There's a lot of stuff, right? We can talk about this for hours, and it's just going to bore people with how boring and bored Broncos fans are with the team right now. But
hey, I'll tell you what. I know it's a football podcast, Sam, but we've got, you know, the Jazz are the number one team here in the market. I'm telling you what, Jazz fans would go through years of terrible drought in order to have a ring. So just appreciate those championships that you got. And you've had one within the past decade, so life isn't too bad, right? It's 100%. All about perspective.
100%. They've been to eight or nine Super Bowls in franchise history, which is pretty impressive. Up until just a few years ago, they had more Super Bowl appearances than they had losing seasons under Pat Bowlen, the former owner.
That's
right?
Crazy.
So
yeah,
the Broncos fans, they're used to having successful football teams. They're used to having seasons that are putting you in the playoffs, winning teams, and it's just been gone for too long now.
Well, Sam, I wish your team well. I also wish Dalton Kincaid well for the Bills because he's on my fantasy team tonight. Need him to score a touchdown for me. That's what I'm hoping for. But
I'm going against Dalton Kincaid. So I will have to say no on that. Oh. Sorry. I love our locals. I want our locals. Hey, look.
We're on opposing ends here.
He can have a great game as long as James Cook has a great game too. So I'll just say that.
That's fair. So then in that aspect, you actually want your team to do poorly tonight because you want your fantasy team to do well. That's always
or
the kind
it can
of
be
the
kind of like the
it.
Lions Chargers game. Just
that's
just
also
shoot
a good
out.
Point.
Get into
that was
a
a crazy
high-scoring
game.
Shootout.
Yeah, crazy game.
That was nuts. It was fun.
Let's talk about Week 10, Sam. Let's go look at what just happened yesterday. We're recording this on Monday, the 13th of November, but pretty fun Week 10 that we had. We're over the midway point of the season, coming down the backside of the mountain now, and I don't know, Sam. I thought that there were some pretty impressive performances yesterday, especially by our local guys. Wasn't like a crazy week where we had like 10 guys doing like, you know, highlight reel kind of things, but there was a few of them that made some outstanding plays. I think we should talk about those, but I want to start with your three stars, and maybe we do it a little different this week. We split it up over the podcast and talk about some other things in between. You know,
we can't just give the people what they want right up front. You can't have dessert before you eat dinner every time, you know? You got to wait a little bit. So let's just do one at a time for a little bit. Let's start with our third star of the week.
Third star!
Number three is coming to us from the San Francisco 49ers. I'm going with former BYU linebacker Fred Warner with his performance, 7 tackles. He had that pick in the game as well. This guy is continuing to have his all-pro caliber season. Not only that, but I think his name's going to be in the mix when it comes down to defensive player of the year when the season's over with. But Fred Warner, again, the guy is just the staple, the center, the heartbeat of that 49ers defense, and a team that needed to get a win, and they got one, and Fred was a big part of the reason why.
Yeah, it was. Do you feel like his, like, I don't know how to exactly say this, so it's gonna sound weird because this is not a word, but like, do you think that his ball hawkiness has like improved? Because I feel like watching him, like the way he's like a like one of those like rover linebackers sometimes, you know, like that interception that he had yesterday, there wasn't like anybody within like, you know, 7, 8 yards of him. And he just kind of
Oh.
like, it was a low thrown pass, but like the way that he was able to pick that off. I just want to point this out, Sam. So through, what is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5 of, or through hit Fred Warner's first 5 seasons in the league, he had 4 interceptions. And this season through week 10, he's already got 3.
Yeah.
So pretty crazy. I mean, he had 0 his rookie year, 1 the next year, 2 in his third season, 0 in 2021, and then last season he had 1 interception. So in every other season, he hasn't had more than 2. Now he's got 3, and he's got, you know, 7 games to go. So
Yeah.
kind of crazy how, you know, we talk about, you know, all that's kind of like his nickname now, you know, and a lot of, you know, social media usages and all those kinds of things.
Yeah.
But it's like he's taken his game to another level this season. Like you mentioned, the defensive player of the year stuff. I'm fascinated to see how he closes out the season because he's really on a tear right now.
Especially if the 49ers continue to win, or they position themselves as a top 2 or 3 team in the NFC, then his name will really pop up amongst, all the different awards that are out there. But yeah, you talked about his ability to be a ball hawk, and that
Ball
interception he
hawkiness.
had.
You
Ball
like it.
hawkiness, yeah,
Ball
it's in the
hawkiness.
dictionary. I looked it up. no, I mean just the way he kind of floated back into coverage. Obviously, it was designed for him to be doing that, but keeping his eyes on the quarterback, keeping his eyes on the ball, and being in a position where he can make a play, he's been putting himself in that position a lot more. And so, yeah, it's cool to see the evolution of Fred Warner's game.
So, Sam, I don't want to ruin your 3 stars here because I don't know. I want to let the people know Sam does
It's
not fill me in
all
beforehand. This is
good.
all, it's all a surprise. So, with that being said, I don't want to direct this conversation elsewhere today. I want you to kind of lead me down the path that you want to go down because I don't want to spoil your 3 stars. Which
Sure.
other performance, maybe non-3 star, impressed you yesterday?
Well, how about not any specific performance, but I started having a thought, and it's been a thought that's been kind of running through my mind the last couple of weeks. We have seen, and we talked about it last week on this podcast, how many locals have we seen, former local quarterbacks have we seen starting in the NFL? This year alone, Jaren Hall, Zach Wilson, both from BYU, both high school kids here in Utah as well. Jordan Love, obviously from Utah State, has been starting. Taysom Hill is not a quarterback, but he's thrown touchdowns this year in his hybrid role. He has started games with the Saints this year. We've even seen former University of Utah quarterback Tyler Huntley get in this season and throw touchdowns. He hasn't started yet this season, but he has started in the past. So, and just kind of watching these guys go, and you kind of wonder, okay, where does Jaren Hall go from here? As he went into the concussion protocol, off to that hot start last week, and then Dobbs comes back for a second straight week and leads the Vikings to a win. Josh Dobbs was great on Sunday. There's no reason to believe, even if Jaren Hall was 100% healthy, that they would steer away from Joshua Dobbs at this point. And that's not an indictment on Hall and his skill level or anything, but it's kind of where he already was positioned within the Vikings organization and offense as being developed, and he was just kind of thrust into the starting role. He showed that he can handle it up to his concussion. But they're not ready to lean on Jaren Hall on a weekly basis. And then here comes Joshua Dobbs doing what he's doing. So, and then who knows what the future Kirk Cousins. kind of makes me wonder, okay, what's the future for Jaren Hall down the road? At what point does he get his opportunity to be a starting quarterback in the NFL? We see Zach Wilson. Is it going to continue with the Jets, or is he going to get an opportunity somewhere else down the road to be a starting quarterback? These questions pop up. So what I'm getting at here, Kyle, I put it out on Twitter. I put it on X, whatever you want to call it these days. A little conversation piece in the form of a poll. Who do you think will be the next local quarterback from either high school, college in our state to start in the NFL?
I voted in said poll, Sam. See,
Did you vote?
I was one of your 61
Did
votes.
you agree with the three names that I had in the poll, or did you have an other?
I would say that I think your other possibilities that you listed were the correct others. I think that those three are probably the right ones to put up as the
Okay.
options. So I think you were spot on there, actually.
So yeah.
I will say this much. I know that, like, if you're a Utah fan, you probably won't agree with me. I just don't know how we're gonna see Cam Rising play in the league unless, like, he comes to another, season next year, either with Utah or another program, and just lights it up. Because missing a year, injured knee, he's experienced multiple injuries during his time at Utah. I don't know. I feel like he was a fringe kind of a draft pick anyway before the injuries. And so, I mean, I'm not saying that Cam couldn't go out and just ball out. Like, we've seen him have amazing games. So, like, the talent's not the question. It's putting it all together in a spot where, like, you take advantage of your opportunity. Like, and you also, at his point, you start worrying about, like, age. It's like the longer guys stay in school, the less opportunity they're going to have to play in the NFL. So I will say that the 10% with Cam, he was the second pick on your whatever your poll results were. Jackson Dart, 77%. I gotta go with the majority there, Sam. I think Jackson Dart out of that list of players is most likely. And I think it's mainly because he can leave after this season if he wants to. And so the options there, Cam, even if he were to enter the draft right now, like, I just don't know, like, if he gets selected. Probably more of like a free agency kind of a deal. I don't know if he needs to go back for another year to just show everybody that he's healthy. So there's a little uncertainty there with Cam. Obviously, Isaac Wilson still in high school, super young. So you've got to wait at least another 3 seasons for that to be a possibility. And then your other possibilities that you listed, Keaton Slovis. Sorry, just don't see it. I've watched enough Keaton Slovis over his 4 seasons of college football to think that he's not an NFL quarterback. Mackay Hillstead, still too early. I think he's talented, but it's like, especially at Utah State, you've got to be the Jordan Love type, right? Where you just have a prototypical kind of like NFL body. Mackay's a little small, and so he would have to put up some crazy numbers at Utah State. You even saw, like, Chucky Keaton, right? Like, he was phenomenal there. He was like talking about like a Heisman candidacy like early on in a couple of his seasons, and obviously injuries derailed him. But it's like you kind of have to have the body type plus some good film production in college and whatnot. So a little early there, early with Maddox Madsen up at Boise State as well. Brandon Rose, still don't know. And then Jake Retzlaff, I'm gonna say too early. I also don't like when I watch him, Sam. I don't even know if he's a college quarterback. Out of the two starts that he's like, he's made some nice throws, but like even Kalani Sitake said, if Keaton Slovis is healthy for their Oklahoma game this week, they're starting Keaton Slovis. So, and then
I
Ryder
think
Burton. Well, just real quick, one more. Ryder Burton. I think he's phenomenal as far as like talent. I really thought he was awesome in high school. And I'm excited to see what he can do potentially at BYU. But again, still way too early to see. Like, we've seen more football from all these other guys than we have him. So again, like, it's an NA for me right now. And so Jackson Dart, clear favorite, clear, obvious favorite.
Yeah, and I agree 100%. As I was kind of trying to come up with a list before I even put the poll together, I was like, okay, That's the problem, is we've been spoiled with some good quarterbacks for a while. We might have a lull here in this state for a little bit for quarterbacks. And who knows? Some of these high school kids might get good opportunities at schools out of state and thrive, kind of what we're seeing with Jackson Dart. But Jackson Dart was a Gatorade Player of the Year at Corner Canyon. He was phenomenal at Roy High School before that. Now he's doing his thing for Ole Miss. I agree on the Cam Rising front. I think he's a practice squad quarterback at best out right out of college. And then he's going to have an uphill battle from there. Isaac Wilson at Corner Canyon right now, going for a state title this weekend. Very talented. I'm starting to believe more and more in his ability, but he still has a long ways to go. And then all those other names you listed, yeah, these are guys that still have a long ways to go. You could even throw Jackson Brousseau into the mix. He's a quarterback over there at Colorado State, former Lehigh High School kid, but he's a freshman sophomore quarterback mixed in with a whole bunch of freshman sophomore quarterbacks over there, including their current starter. So uphill battle for him too. But it was just a kind of a fun debate I was having in my own head, because I was just like, we've had so many fun and exciting talented quarterbacks out of our state. Who's next? And those were kind of the names that came up, and I just thought it was a fun conversation piece. But
Anyone from the Farnsworth household? Anybody? I mean, we're probably like 10 years out, but
yeah,
like, is there a possibility?
we got a little ways before we can even get to that point. But yeah, in about 2034, you'll be on the Heisman list out there. There'll be a Farnsworth name on there for sure.
I love it.
Okay, maybe not, but.
Yeah, no, I
Hey, you
like the
know what?
bowl, Sam.
I think this leads perfectly into my second star too, this conversation. So let's just do it, okay? Is that okay?
Star.
All right, so my second star is New York Jets quarterback Zach Wilson. I'm going to give him some credit. I've been hard on him in this podcast. I'm hard on him in social media. I think BYU fans are a little too soft, when it comes to Zach. A lot of times on social media, they defend him a lot, even in spite of his poor decision making at times and the mistakes that he makes. However, I'm starting to try to approach it with more of an open mind. The people talking about how poor the Jets' offensive line is, how poor some of his receivers are with dropping passes. And I've watched some of the tape out there, and I'm like, okay, some of it is on some of these other guys. But this is the first game, Sunday Night Football, the Jets going up against the Raiders. This is the first time where I really tried to focus on every possession that Zach Wilson had with the Jets. And I thought his decision making was a lot better than what we've seen. I think he's playing a lot more free, which is what we've been talking about. I've been talking about that for weeks. He's got to go out there and play free, not think about it. Just go out there and sling it. And near the end of the game, especially, we saw him just, no look passes, the sidearm slings, the heaves downfield, even the pass at the zeros when the clock ran out, when all they had left was one chance at the end zone. The fact that he was able to elude the pass rush the way he did, juke a defensive end. I think it was Max Crosby breathing down his neck. He's able to kind of juke him, and then still up against the sideline, kind of throw against his momentum all the way 50 yards into the end zone. I mean, it just goes to show Zach's got every tool needed to be a good NFL quarterback, and this ball was still almost caught. So I'm going to give him some credit this week. I'm going to give him a little bit
Should
of love.
have
He's
been
going to be a
caught.
nice second star. I don't know. The replays, they collided. His receivers collided. It would have been hard to catch, but
Had
it was.
Conklin not made contact with Garrett Wilson, I give Garrett Wilson a
Yes.
50-50 shot at making that catch. He was like in perfect position, though. Like, he timed his jump perfectly. I was like, oh my gosh. I thought he had it, man. It's crazy.
I feel like a lot of the reaction on social media on Monday has been more positive in favor of Zach Wilson this week than what we've seen in weeks past. So, again, it could be a very slow and long process for Zach, but I think Sunday was a great step in the right direction for his career.
Yeah, I thought he played really well for the most part, considering the drops that he had. His offensive line actually played better yesterday than they had in the previous couple of games because he was getting lit up. I mean, that offensive line, Sam, I don't know if it's the worst in the league, but it's one of the five worst league offensive linemen in the NFL. Like, it's so bad sometimes. And they're obviously super injured. Like, he's been playing with a backup center like at parts of the last month. So just kind of a mess overall, which makes me like fascinated that Aaron Rodgers told NBC's Melissa Stark that he's aiming for a mid-December comeback. I'm like,
Right.
behind the offensive line and you're coming off an Achilles injury. I don't know. It's a little crazy to me, but whatever.
Good luck. Good
But
luck, Aaron.
Monday morning, Sam, Robert Saleh said, quote, he's actually playing well, actually playing pretty well, is what Saleh said,
Pretty
which
well.
is a
Saleh could
little.
do a little, Saleh could do pretty well with his game management. I'll tell you that. If
Yeah,
he
those
did pretty well
timeouts.
with his game management. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah,
I
no,
digress.
that's definitely been an issue with him. But no, I would say he was a little bit more positive Monday morning after rewatching the game and whatever, all the other stuff he did post game, then right after the game in his post game press conference. I feel like a lot of the time he's like in a, hey, I'm not writing anybody off, but like I'm not praising him either after a loss. And then the next morning it's like, okay, I went back, watched the film. It wasn't actually as bad as everybody coming into that media room wants me to say it was. So, and granted, like, it's the Jets, it's the New York media, it's all that
Yeah.
stuff still gonna be there. And I mean, like, even Adam Schefter tweeted out a solid quote this afternoon, and Matt Miller, the NFL draft analyst guy, he puts out a GIF that just says, huh? Like, with like eyes like that are shocked. And it's like, I get it. Like, Zach isn't playing like he's Patrick Mahomes. Like, nobody's saying that he is. But is he playing better than he did the last two seasons? Yeah, he's playing a lot better. He's showing flashes of like real competency. I thought that yesterday he played a lot better in the same way that I saw. I didn't see this as much against the Chiefs, but I saw similar aspects where he was able to utilize his legs and get outside the pocket and still have his eyes downfield to make a play. I think that, like, when Zach rolls out, that's when he's at his best. And I don't think Nathaniel Hackett is still quite there with like fully utilizing Zach's skill set. And Mike LaFleur clearly wasn't there with him the last 2 years. Just being able to kind of utilize his legs inside of the backfield where they're not necessarily designed runs, because then it allows him to have those scrambles where there's nothing downfield, but the secondary is taking, 30 yards down the field. And so he's able to pick up an easy first down. Like, we're seeing a little bit more of that. And he was their leading rusher yesterday. Like, it's also like when your team, like, is averaging, like, your lead back is averaging like 2.1 yards a carry or 2.4 yards or whatever it was for Breece Hall yesterday. It's like, I'm sorry, when you don't have an effective run game, like, that's going to make it harder on the quarterback. And Zach still was pretty efficient. That interception, I still, Robert Saleh said that Spillane made an amazing play. I still think that that was a throw that Zach should have made. Like, even if it was an amazing play by Spillane, it's just like when you saw, like, I just don't think he saw the linebacker coming over. But again, still had a chance to win it at the end. So it's not all bad, but I'm glad that you gave him a little credit there. I don't know. Spending too much time on Zach Wilson. I'm rambling.
Well, I think one positive also for about, for Zach is that for the second time in primetime television this year, at the end of the game, he played well. So a lot of eyeballs seeing what Zach is capable of doing. And I'll just turn it
Yeah.
to our market here on Sunday Night Football. I'm looking at our ratings right now, the preliminary ratings for Monday morning, for Sunday Night Football, and those numbers went up all the way towards the end of that game, obviously because he's in the game. It had its highest rating between 8:30 and 9:30. The
Yeah.
last bit of that game, the highest rating of the game. And so a lot of eyeballs in the Salt Lake City, Utah market watching that game last night to see what Zach Wilson could do.
No,
So
Sam, I'm not saying this jokingly, saying this with all seriousness. You're a Harriman resident, and we're gonna give some love to Andre James, product of Harriman High School, coming out with the dub, coming out with the victory on Sunday Night Football there. Go
there we
Mustangs.
go. Yep, there we go.
That's the
Good. Hey,
ratings right there
good
for
shout out.
you.
Good shout out. I like that.
Sam, let's do Kyle's fun fact of the week before we do
Let's do
your
it.
third star,
Okay.
because I think you're gonna like this one this week. I think you're gonna think it's interesting. And it's exactly 29 years ago to this day, November 13th, 1994. Sam, do you know what happened in week 11 of the NFL season in 1994? Don't Google it. You're cheating.
I'm not Googling, I promise. But I'm starting to think, okay, 94. The Broncos were struggling a little
Everything
bit
isn't about
because
the Broncos,
the
Sam. Come on.
I know, but I can base it all along this. So the Broncos had, I think that might have been Wade Phillips. I don't think they had Mike Shanahan yet. The Niners were pretty good. The Cowboys were pretty good in 94. November 94, it's got to be Steve Young related.
Oh
Am
my
I
gosh, you named both of the teams, Sam. The San Francisco 49ers hosted the Dallas Cowboys at Candlestick Park. My gosh, the old Candlestick Park. It was the 49ers led by Steve Young. So, Sam, in this game, you had the 49ers and the Cowboys. You had both teams afterwards sitting at 8-2 because the 49ers picked up a 21-14 win, led by Steve Young. So, Sam, this is what happened in this game. Steve Young, not amazing numbers here, but got in the end zone 3 times. He was 12 of 21 passing for 183, 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions for a rating of 117.8. And he also ran the ball 8 times for 60 yards and a score. So 3 touchdowns for our guy out of BYU, Steve Young, who was also at a bunch of BYU sporting events this last weekend, including the
Yes,
BYU
he
football
was.
game where they got demolished by Iowa State. So the Cowboys, whoo, they got wrecked because Troy Aikman, I guess they didn't get wrecked, they only lost by 7, but Troy Aikman was 23 of 42 for 339, 0 touchdowns, but 3 interceptions there. So that was the difference in the ball game right there, Sam. But Steve Young, 3 touchdowns 29 years ago to this day against the Cowboys. It was in the heyday of the Cowboys and the 49ers, so I thought you'd appreciate that.
So, a little tidbit that's semi-related to this and not at all related to locals in the NFL, but I'll throw it in there because yesterday, when I was watching, what game was it? It was one of the morning games on Fox. The color analyst was Darryl Johnston, Moose Johnston, who's the fullback on that Cowboys team. And I got to teach my son who he was. So,
Oh,
he
nice.
was asking who that was. I was like, yeah, he used to be a fullback in the NFL. He was really good on a lot of championship teams. And anyway, little tidbit for you.
He's a good analyst too. I like Joe.
He
I think
is.
he does a good job. I will say, the thing about having NFL Sunday Ticket, Sam, is you get to kind of bounce around all these games. I will say the analyst and play-by-plays that the NFL has right now with Fox, NBC, and CBS are at an all-time best. There are very few of the teams out there as far as
Because they got rid of
broadcasters are
Joe.
concerned.
I'm just kidding. Sorry, that was maybe a little harsh, but
Little harsh, my gosh.
like Joe Buck's good. Joe Buck's good, but I'm okay with other analysts, other play-by-play announcers.
So Troy Aikman, though, as the analyst, I think is an amazing, like, I will say he's a little jaded sometimes, but I think that for the most part, Aikman does a really nice job.
Who do you think is the best an color analyst in the
Oh, in the
NFL?
NFL? My gosh.
I mean, Tony Romo's pretty darn good.
Tony's really good. I really like Archuleta too. I think he's pretty good.
Oh,
I
interesting.
like Aikman. I actually think Herb Street is actually pretty good on the NFL
Really?
now. I wasn't a
Okay.
huge fan last season, but he's growing on me. I like him for college. He's not my favorite at college anymore. He used to be. I think Klatt has now
Yeah.
taken that role. I think Klatt's pretty good, but
Yeah, Joe Klatt's good.
as far as NFL, I think Herbie's actually pretty good now. I think he's kind of getting into the problem with Thursday Night Football is I think they get some really bad games, which is unfortunate. And Al Michaels like seems like he's just like coasting down the stretch sometimes now, which Al used to be the pinnacle, man. He used to be great. Sunday Night Football with Al was awesome. I actually think Collinsworth is pretty good. I like Collinsworth, and I like the pass rush. I like the accent there from Chris. Good stuff.
Oh, yeah. All right. I like it. Those are good answers.
We
You know
should do
who's not
this.
bad?
We should do this more often. Just
I'll
the
turn this
outside things of football.
I'll turn this to a local aspect. You know who's not that bad? He's way better than he ever was under center. Although I got to give him credit for a few of the very important wins in 2015. But Brock Osweiler is pretty darn good in the booth, I think. Maybe I
He
need to
does
hear more
it.
games.
Yeah, no,
But he
he
was
does
in
a
the booth
decent
for that
job.
BYU game, right? He
Yeah,
was in
he
the booth,
did.
huh?
What
So
was it? The I think he did the
the BYU
TCU
Iowa State
game.
game.
I think he did the BYU TCU game as well, like a month ago. So he's been on
So
a
it's his
couple of
fault that
local
BYU's
games.
getting. So it's his fault BYU gets blown out. I get it.
Pretty sure that is not the reason, but Osweiler has been on the end of many a blowouts, I will say. So he's familiar with the territory, but no. I actually think he does a pretty good job as well. He's not my favorite, but he's good. He's
Not too
better
bad.
than a number of guys out there. All right, Sam, that's enough Osweiler talk. We're talking way too much Broncos on this podcast for my liking. And the people, they would
I tied it into
appreciate.
BYU.
Yeah, the people would appreciate more Indianapolis Colts talk. I mean, let's be real about it. And I will say, if there's not a Colt that gets your first star of the week, I'm gonna be a little disappointed, but like let's find out. Let's find out who your
Look,
star of the week is, your number one star.
Julian Blackman did his thing for the Colts again. I was impressed. I shouldn't say impressed. I mean, that's kind of what I expect from Julian,
He's
and
having a
they're
great season and a
he
contract
is.
year. Like
Yeah,
the fact that he's
good for
like,
him.
it's like him and Julian or him and Jalen Johnson. It's like they're putting their best film on tape right now when they are about to get paid, which is awesome. So I
Smart.
selfishly hope he stays with Indianapolis because I think he's great. I think he's one of those guys that they'll have these like flashy plays every now and again, but a lot of the time you just don't hear about him because he's just out there doing his job, you know? So I appreciate him.
Yeah, so I'm excited for his future if he can stay healthy. That's the key, and stay healthy. Yeah, former Ute Leighton Lander doing his thing. Another former Ute, Zach Moss. What's the deal there? Only one carry this time. Did I miss something? Did he get hurt? I didn't see the game,
So,
but they are really switching over to Jonathan Taylor
yeah.
mode now, aren't they?
So there's a few things here, Sam. And I will say, Zach posted an emoji after the game, and you could tell he was a little bugged. You could just a little social media venting, which as a non-local person covering this, just as a Colts fan, I'm sitting there in my mind, I'm like, dude, come on. Like, can't have any of that stuff. Like, that's the thing that destroys teams. Like, you gotta be all about the win. Don't worry about your reps. Like, you clearly have shown that you're a valuable piece of this team. And I think that it's a lot of the time, and the Colts head coach was asked about it post game, and they were like, hey, like it was just we had plays drawn up for Jonathan Taylor. I think that there's a little bit of coach speak in that where Shane Steichen does like riding the hot hand. And so in past weeks, even as they were ramping Jonathan Taylor up, they did run Zach Moss more than Taylor. Like Taylor only had one carry in the second half, like 2 weeks ago. So it hasn't just been like this like constant thing. It is confusing as somebody who's like sitting on their couch watching it. Like, what is the plan behind all this? Because you would think that like they would either like alternate series or like quarters or something. But to know, like, not only, play like, I think it was like nine snaps that he had yesterday or something, like, really small number compared to what he's had all season. And then to only get one carry was kind of interesting. I will say they're paying Jonathan Taylor like $30 million guaranteed. So, like, you've already kind of made that decision just financially speaking this year. But Zach Moss has shown, like, I mean, up until the beginning of week 10, I don't know where it's at right now, but he was the second leading rusher in the NFL. So, I mean, he's already shown that he's effective. Zach is also a free agent after this season, I believe. So he's going to find a job somewhere, whether it's remaining with Indianapolis, which I would assume is not likely because teams don't usually pay multiple backs a lot of money, but you know, who knows? We'll see. But yeah, it is a little confusing, but at the same time, just go out there and win. That's all that matters. Just go out there
Well,
and win.
so it can work. So I get the hot hand thing, but it can work. It can work when you give two backs 15, 16 carries each per game.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that in Pittsburgh. So that leads me to my first star. Yep, that's the first star. It's the East High Leopard, Jaylen Warren, who also had stops at Snow College and Utah State before wrapping up at Oklahoma State. But Jaylen Warren gets my first star of the week. I've been waiting for this moment all season long.
You have you said you were the conductor of the Rashid Shaheed train a couple weeks ago. I don't know. Does that make you like the pilot of the Jaylen Warren like airline or what is it?
I'm captain of Warren Airlines. Warren was, look, my fantasy football team is called a Warren Glass of Shut the H Up. So it's because I took Jaylen Warren on my team, but I haven't had a lot of
Oh
opportunities
my
to play
gosh.
him this year. Yesterday's the day I should have played him. I did not, but he might be earning more and more of my trust with his 15 carries, 101 yards, his first career 100-yard rushing game, and a touchdown. Jaylen Warren, man, this is a guy who's going to be an RB1. I know it's kind of like a co-role with Najee Harris. Najee's probably even the one ahead of Jaylen Warren a little bit, but Jaylen Warren is going to be a first-string running back in the NFL very, very soon, and he's going to be getting his 25-ish carries per game very soon. He is all of that talent and deserving of it, and he showed it on Sunday.
So, Sam, this leads me to a bigger question for you because I mean, we can talk about Jaylen Warren. He had an awesome game. I think that there's like a different, like, there's a change of pace with him and Najee Harris. And it leads me to that Zach Moss, Jonathan Taylor question. You look at it with the Lions with Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. Like, there's a lot of these teams that like running the football that want that to be their identity. And they have two running backs that one of, each of them could be like, or either one of them could be a starter with that team, possibly, or at least like in a role where they have like, you know, guys out for a few weeks, like Zach Moss had to take over and start for the Colts, like has shown that he can carry the load either for like a small stretch, or maybe he could do it for an entire season with some other team. Do you think that we're at a state in the NFL with running backs being obviously devalued money wise, but do you think that teams are valuing the fact of having two running backs as opposed to just like the lead cow like they've had in the past? Where I do agree, like when you're talking about Zach Moss, it's like I think the Jonathan Taylor's deserved of all of the like majority reps, right? Like he should get the starter reps in that role. They're paying him for it. He was the NFL's leading rusher a couple of years ago. And so I think that he's proven himself in that role where Zach hasn't done that to that level. This is his best season so far, and he hasn't even played a full season yet, right? And so maybe Zach gets to that point where he could be a starting running back in the NFL with another team. But it's like you're talking about, let's say, 30 carries or whatever across two backs, and it's like you give one guy 20 and the other guy 10, or the one guy, like, you know, however you want to split it, 60, 40 or whatever. You have your starting running back in Pittsburgh. Najee Harris has been their starter, but then like Jaylen Warren has had some games where he's had a lot better performances. So like, what's your perspective, I guess, and what's your opinion on how teams should use running backs? Do you like the two running back approach, or would you rather have it just be like you have your one guy and then you have, you know, maybe like a goal line back or something like that where you run him on third down or however else you want to use him in a minimal role?
I mean, I kind of tend to lean towards more of a primary running back, right? Where you've got another guy who can, spell your primary back and maybe in short yardage situations, goal line situations, I don't know. But that's the way I lean, especially in today's game. when you're not running the ball 30 times a game that often anymore, or 40 times a game. You're passing the ball 50 plus times a game. Almost every team in the NFL is
Yeah.
on a fairly regular basis. And so we talk about the devaluing of running backs in the NFL, and from a contract standpoint, from a usage standpoint, but it's just the evolution of the game itself. So if you're a running back that is versatile, a running back that can line up in the slot on occasion, that is able to, come out of the backfield to catch passes, I think every running back in the NFL has to prove that they can do that. Jaylen Warren's one of those guys who's proven that time and time again. He is frequently targeted out of the backfield in the pass game. So that's what makes you more valuable in the NFL today. You can't just be the ground and pound type back anymore. There's a few of them that we still see succeed in that realm, but Derrick Henry doesn't do what he did 2 and 3 years ago anymore.
True.
Who else? Name your running back that runs that style of football. We just don't see that anymore. Will we see it again? Maybe. It's hard to envision though with the way football has gone. So I think
Yeah.
Jaylen Warren is the right type of running back to have in the NFL today. Sharing carries, if it works for a team, great. I think it would be nice to see him get, 20 carries a game and 5 targets out of the backfield per game, something in that ballpark. And I think that's what I would like to see on pretty much every NFL offense, to be honest.
So you've got like the, I'm not saying that they're the same at all, but you've got like the Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara, like
Yes.
types, right? Where they're, those are the two
Yes.
top running backs in the NFL as far as like money is concerned. They're highest paid guys, but the reason why they're the highest paid is because not only do they run the ball traditionally, but they're so effective as receivers out of the backfield. And Jaylen
Yes.
Warren, not at that level, obviously, but you know, maybe one day, who knows? Like, I'm not writing it off, but it is that running back that, hey, you can hand it off and he's just a running back, but then he can throw those wheel routes, screen passes, all that kind of stuff. And they're almost like a run play at that point in time, right?
Yeah, totally agree. But
So Sam, this week we have your Broncos in Buffalo to wrap up week 10. That game's at 6:15 on we'll see. Teams 2 games away from 500, you know, pick up a win over the Bills, who they're a funky team, Sam. Bills are funky. It wouldn't surprise me to see them beat the Bills. It wouldn't surprise me, but a lot of people are
you
going to
can
pick the
never
Bills to win that game.
in the NFL, you can never write off the teams that figure it out at the midway point, a little before the midway point in the season, enough time to still qualify for the playoffs. You can never write off those type of teams because it happens. The Giants were one of them once. They won a Super Bowl. I'm just saying.
I'm writing
I'm
them
not
off,
saying that's what
Sam.
the Broncos
I'm
yeah,
crossing
well,
them
hey.
off the list. I'm done. I'm crossing your team off.
Hey,
I've seen.
with the way this podcast began, I was kind of writing them off already too, but maybe I'm changing my
I've
mind.
slowly built your fandom back up. Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. All right, Sam, for week 11. My gosh, we are at week 11. That is just crazy to say. So fast the season's gone by. So I think the obvious game of the week here is Monday Night Football. And so I don't think that either one of us can pick it. But we got the Eagles and the Chiefs on Monday Night Football, Super Bowl matchup or rematch, that is. That's going to be an awesome game. But on that, you got the Broncos hosting the Vikings on Sunday Night Football. I know you're going to be watching that one closely to see if the fighting Joshua Dobbs can take down the Broncos in Denver. Is there another game that's something that you've got your eye on that you're interested in watching?
I'm really intrigued with the Jets and Bills game next week. I still want to see kind of how the Bills perform Monday night. Tonight. But at the same time, we kind of know what the Bills are and how good they are. But I'm just intrigued to see if Zach Wilson can, the building blocks, momentum, if he can keep trending in the right direction. So that's a game that's certainly going to catch my attention this next week. But a game that I don't think, I don't, it, when you look at it, is it an exciting matchup? I don't know. But I think it's going to be one of the best games of the week is going to be Sunday morning between the Steelers and Browns in the AFC North Division, both 6-3.
That was
The
gonna be great.
Browns defense has just been phenomenal this year. So yeah,
Six
that's a
and
game
three, and
that's
they're
got
playing backup quarterbacks, essentially. It's crazy.
not too
It's
bad.
crazy. All right, Sam, my game of the week. You're gonna think this one's weird. You're gonna think it's weird, Sam. And it's because the Panthers are playing the Cowboys. I'm just kidding. No, it's not that game. It's the Bears and the Lions
It's a good
because
one.
Justin Fields might be back. Who knows with that situation with his thumb? Maybe comes back and plays against a division opponent. But the Lions are just, they're for real, Sam.
They're
Seven and
good.
two. Pick up a win there. They're 8-2. I mean, like, could we see the Lions winning playoff games this year for the first time in forever, Sam? Or, like, I mean, to be a Lions fan, my father-in-law is a Lions fan. He's probably going to listen to this. He's going to be like, "You're talking about the Lions." And I'm like, "Yes, I'm talking about the Lions." And he picked the Lions as his team because they went 0-16. That was when he became a Lions fan. It's
Right.
crazy. It's not the traditional route that one goes to pick a team, but that's how some people do it, including my father-in-law. But I
I
think
was
that the Lions are good this year.
watching. They are. I was watching that game on Sunday, and just I couldn't help but think, man, they found Goff and the Lions have both found the right pairing,
Right.
right? Goff found the right team. The Lions found the right quarterback. Even with Stafford gone, Goff,
Yep.
it's almost like it's a better fit.
Coach wise too. Like it's like Goff like fits with Campbell as opposed to like McVay like always seemed like Goff wasn't like it was always that like tension where it was like, you aren't what I want you to be. You aren't what I want you to be. It's almost like Campbell's like, we are going to take advantage of what you do well, and we're going to build the team around that. And we're going to run the football. We're going to be really good. We're going to be physical with the line of scrimmage instead of going out and drafting some wide out the year that, you know, like guys like Ja'Marr Chase are out and available. We're going to take Penei Sewell out of Utah. Yeah. Not out of the
Yes.
University of Utah, but Desert Hills High
Right.
School. And
Right.
they're super physical. They're a physical team.
I was watching that game though, and the one thought that crossed my mind twice was, I wonder if Jamal Williams wishes he stayed. But
I would 100% think that he would say that. And it's not just because of the way that things have gone in New Orleans this year. I think that having the year that he had last year, like to break franchise records, to be
yeah.
a guy, what, how many touchdowns did he have again
Lions
last
fans
year?
were in love with him. I think it was
Like
17.
17? Yeah.
The Lions fans were in love with him, especially with the way he is in the media, the way he is with the
Right.
fans. People loved, they wanted him back bad. And I think the Lions wanted him back. And I don't know that it was necessarily, I don't know how close the money was or if it was even, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking Jamal was just ready for a new environment or something,
But
but
I mean,
it just seemed like it was a good
they
fit.
signed Montgomery, who was with their division rival in Chicago, and they signed him before Jamal signed with New Orleans. So there was something contractually there that like didn't align where they were like, hey, and somebody, and so we're gonna sign Montgomery. But then they go out and they take Jahmyr Gibbs with their first pick in the, well, what was he, sixth overall or something like that? So, I mean, even in that situation, Jamal's like not their lead back this year, right? Like, it's crazy. They're good though. They're just, I mean, they got Amon-Ra St. Brown on the outside. Like they've got pieces all over the place, Sam.
Yes, they
They're
do.
really well built. And hey, that Stafford trade set them up nicely because they got a bunch of picks out of it. They got their quarterback out of it. So it's
It's
a way to build a
working.
football team. It's a way to build a football team. Build through the draft. All right, Sam. Before we sign off for week 10's recap, what can you tease for me on KSL Sports Live this week?
Well, you can watch us on the KSL Plus app, or if you live in market, just turn it on to Channel 5. And this weekend, we've got a loaded weekend. State championship high school football. We talk about locals in the NFL all the time, and we even mentioned a couple of these high school kids now. Could they be in the NFL someday? Isaac Wilson is going to be playing for a state championship this weekend for Corner Canyon High School against Sky Ridge High School. There are a lot of talented players out there. So we've got the 4A, 5A, 6A state championships on Friday. Full coverage this weekend, along with anything that happens with the Utah Jazz, locals in the NFL, Utes and Cougars on the football field. We've got it all.
I like it, Sam. Be sure to watch KSL Sports Live every day of the week, but also on Sundays. And I appreciate the Sunday version because I like the locals in the NFL take, but Saturday night's
Yeah.
really good as well. Get a little high school football, college football, all that stuff. And Sam, enjoy the rest of your day off, your Monday, your nice Monday off, where you're so gracious to
Thanks.
hop on and record with me. But be sure to follow Sam on social media. He's very active on Threads right now, which I appreciate. I like the Threads usage,
Trying.
Sam, at Samsworth_TV on all things social. You can follow me at Kyle Ireland and at Kyle Ireland KSL on everything not X. But anyway, that has been the Yards After College podcast for this week. We'll be back again next week. Until then, be sure to follow everything on KSLSports.com.